This is GMJ Audio from the Georgian Medical Journal News. The copper-iron connection, why anemia diagnosis may be missing a critical mineral. Editorially reviewed by Prof. Georgi Pakaka, MPH, PhD, GMJ News Desk. Preliminary evidence. Iron and copper are biochemically inseparable in human physiology, yet clinical practice typically evaluates them independently. Research by Fong and colleagues documents 5 patients initially referred for suspected myelodysplastic syndrome, a bone marrow malignancy, who were ultimately found to be copper deficient, with their anemia and neutropenia resolving entirely after copper supplementation. This pattern suggests that copper deficiency may be systematically underdiagnosed in contemporary medical practice, with potentially significant clinical consequences. Key takeaways: copper-dependent enzymes control all 3 major checkpoints of iron transport in the body, meaning iron accumulation in tissues can occur despite adequate dietary intake. When copper is deficient, copper deficiency can present with microcytic hypochromic anemia, indistinguishable from iron deficiency on standard blood tests, potentially leading to inappropriate iron supplementation that increases oxidative damage. 5 documented cases of suspected myelodysplastic syndrome resolved with copper supplementation alone, highlighting how this deficiency may be misdiagnosed as malignancy. Copper deficiency most commonly follows bariatric surgery, parenteral nutrition, or excessive zinc supplementation, yet is rarely included in standard diagnostic workups. 5 patients initially suspected of bone marrow malignancy whose anemia and neutropenia resolved with copper supplementation alone. The 3 copper-dependent gates of iron metabolism, each checkpoint requires copper-dependent enzymes. Blockade at any gate traps iron in tissues while producing anemia on blood tests. Intestinal absorption, hefestin, 100% blood transport, ceruloplasmin, 100%. Iron recycling, GPICP, 100%. Source, copper-dependent enzymes in iron metabolism, Georgian Medical Journal News. The hidden mechanism, how copper controls iron movement. Iron transport through the body requires passage through 3 anatomically distinct checkpoints, and copper-dependent enzymes govern all 3. When iron is absorbed in the intestinal enterocyte, it cannot exit the cell membrane without hefestin, a copper-dependent peroxidase. This is not a passive process. Copper-dependent oxidation is mandatory for iron export. Once iron enters the bloodstream, a second gate activates. Iron must be oxidized from its reduced form, Fe-mys, to its oxidized form, Fe, by ceruloplasmin, another copper-dependent enzyme, before it can bind to transferrin for transport to bone marrow and other tissues. Without this oxidation step, iron remains in its reactive Fe-mys state and cannot be safely carried. The third checkpoint occurs during iron recycling. When macrophages break down old red blood cells, they recover approximately 20 milligrams of iron daily, a major portion of the body's daily iron requirement. This recycled iron requires a membrane-bound form of ceruloplasmin, GPICP, to re-enter circulation. Copper deficiency blocks this recycling pathway as completely as it blocks intestinal absorption. When copper is deficient, iron traps itself in tissues. The paradox of copper deficiency is that iron does not disappear from the body, it accumulates in the wrong compartments. Studies of copper-deficient animal models demonstrate iron overload in the liver and intestinal epithelial cells while simultaneously showing anemia in the bloodstream. The body possesses abundant iron, yet that iron is biochemically trapped in tissues unable to mobilize it. On standard complete blood count, BC, this clinical picture is indistinguishable from primary iron deficiency. Microcytic, small red cells, and hypochromic, pale red cells, anemia. The reflexive clinical response is to prescribe additional iron supplementation. This is where the mechanism becomes harmful. Iron that cannot exit tissue cells because of copper deficiency remains in its reduced Fe-mys form, generating free radicals through Fenton chemistry. Additional iron supplementation in this context increases oxidative damage in tissues where iron is already trapped rather than correcting the anemia. Mechanism of copper-dependent iron toxicity in cellular storage tissues. The accumulating Fe-mys is the chemically reactive form of iron, the form that generates hydroxyl radicals and causes lipid peroxidation, protein modification, and DNA damage. Iron supplementation in the setting of unrecognized copper deficiency converts a transport problem into a tissue toxicity problem. Clinical evidence: 5 cases of misdiagnosis. Fong and colleagues documented 5 patients who presented with microcytic anemia and neutropenia, low neutrophil count, and were referred to hematology oncology for evaluation of possible myelodysplastic syndrome, a group of bone marrow malignancies characterized by abnormal blood cell production. All 5 patients had undergone extensive hematologic workup before copper deficiency was identified and tested. In each case, copper supplementation alone resolved both the anemia and the neutropenia completely. The diagnosis that might have taken months or years of bone marrow biopsies, genetic testing, and cancer-like treatment protocols was instead a correctable micronutrient deficiency. This suggests that copper deficiency may be systematically misclassified as hematologic malignancy, with consequent diagnostic delays and potential overtreatment. The most common precipitants of copper deficiency are well-defined but clinically underappreciated. Bariatric surgery is responsible for approximately half of copper deficiency cases due to reduced intestinal surface area for absorption and often inadequate trace mineral supplementation in postoperative regimens. Long-term parenteral nutrition without adequate copper supplementation is another major cause. Excessive zinc supplementation, more than 50 milligrams daily over extended periods, competes with copper absorption and can precipitate deficiency even in patients with intact gastrointestinal tracts. Why copper remains absent from standard workups? Copper is rarely included in routine hematologic or metabolic panels. Unlike iron, which has well-established reference ranges and is universally measured in anemia workups, copper deficiency requires specific clinical suspicion and often a separate serum copper or ceruloplasmin measurement. This is partly historical. Copper deficiency was uncommon in the general population before widespread bariatric surgery, and partly due to the complexity of copper metabolism, where serum levels do not always reflect total body stores. The diagnostic gap has practical consequences. A patient with copper deficiency presenting with anemia enters a diagnostic pathway optimized for iron deficiency or bone marrow malignancy. Iron studies are performed. Iron is often prescribed. If the diagnosis progresses, bone marrow biopsy may follow. Copper is seldom measured in this sequence unless the clinical course becomes atypical or a specialist recognizes the pattern. For clinicians, the implication is clear. In patients with microcytic hypochromic anemia who do not respond to iron supplementation, who have had bariatric surgery, prolonged parenteral nutrition, or high-dose zinc supplementation, or who present with concurrent neutropenia, copper deficiency should be included in the differential diagnosis. Testing copper status, particularly ceruloplasmin or serum copper, is inexpensive and widely available. What this means for patients: if you have persistent anemia despite iron supplementation, especially after bariatric surgery or on long-term parenteral nutrition, ask your clinician to check your copper status. Copper deficiency is treatable and can mimic serious blood cancers. For clinicians, include copper deficiency in the differential diagnosis of microcytic anemia unresponsive to iron therapy, particularly in patients with bariatric surgery history or high-dose zinc use. A single ceruloplasmin or serum copper test can prevent months of unnecessary investigation and inappropriate iron supplementation. For policymakers, consider including copper measurement in standard micronutrient screening protocols for patients undergoing bariatric surgery, on long-term parenteral nutrition, or presenting with unexplained anemia. Bariatric surgery centers should mandate trace mineral monitoring, including copper. Frequently asked questions: how common is copper deficiency in the general population? Copper deficiency is rare in people eating a varied diet without gastrointestinal surgery. However, it affects 13 to 25% of bariatric surgery patients, depending on how long ago surgery was performed and whether trace minerals are supplemented. The prevalence is rising in parallel with bariatric surgery volume globally. Can I test my copper levels at home? No. Copper status requires blood tests ordered by a healthcare provider. Serum copper and ceruloplasmin are the standard measurements, though ceruloplasmin is considered more reliable since serum copper can be affected by inflammation and other acute conditions. What is the treatment for copper deficiency? Copper supplementation, typically 2 to 4 milligrams daily in divided doses, as copper gluconate or copper sulfate, taken with food to minimize gastrointestinal upset. Response is usually measured within 4 to 8 weeks. Patients at ongoing risk, such as those post-bariatric surgery, require long-term supplementation with regular monitoring. The copper-iron interaction exemplifies a broader principle in clinical medicine. Single-nutrient thinking can obscure the interconnected biochemistry that determines clinical outcomes. As bariatric surgery becomes more common globally, and micronutrient deficiencies become correspondingly more frequent, integrating copper assessment into standard diagnostic algorithms for anemia will likely prevent both diagnostic delays and the unintended harm of inappropriate supplementation. Current clinical guidelines may need revision to reflect the emerging evidence that copper deficiency is both more common and more readily correctable than current practice patterns recognize. Source: Fong et al., Case Series of Copper Deficiency Presenting as Suspected Myelodysplastic Syndrome, Institutional Case Reports and Copper Metabolism Literature.